Saleh, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years, which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. And before we get started, I want to mention that our call-in line, if you have questions or comments, is 610-701-9243. That's 610-701-9243. This day in history, November 9th. On this day in 1862, Union General Ambrose Burnside succeeds George McClellan as commander of the Union Army of the Potomac during the Civil War. McClellan had infuriated President Lincoln due to his refusal to aggressively pursue rebel forces and achieve a major victory. Unfortunately, Burnside wouldn't have much success, suffering a stunning defeat at the Battle of Fredericksburg a month later. In 1965, New York, seven other states, and parts of eastern Canada are plunged into darkness after a major power transmission line is tripped, setting off a cascade of events that trapped 800,000 people in New York City subways and resulted in the calling out of 10,000 National Guardsmen to prevent looting and maintain order. A total of 30 million people were affected at the height of rush hour in the worst power disaster in United States history, an event closely replicated in 2003 when a similar outage affected millions in Canada and the U.S. And in 1989, a symbol of despotism and human suffering came down as East Germany opened the Berlin Wall, allowing thousands of jubilant protesters to celebrate, taking sledgehammers and pickaxes to the structure, which had prompted President Reagan to famously state, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." A country was reformed as East and West Germany were reunited. Many people love fine art and visit museums and galleries to view great paintings, sculptures, and other objects created by gifted artists. Some people also enjoy arts and crafts, formed in a wide variety of styles and formats that please those interested in less formal works that are more simple, tastes, and appeal to their desire to have beauty all around them. The Unionville Art Gala in Unionville, Pennsylvania, has pleased visitors for many years. The event welcomes 70 local and regional artists to Unionville High School on Friday, November 18th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Saturday, November 19th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. with displays of wonderful artworks, live music, and hors d'oeuvres for all to enjoy. Lily Gaylor is this year's featured artist. She's been a guest on this show with her husband, Brad, as the owners of the wonderful Gaylor Estate Winery here in Chester County. Her friend and associate, Carol Apicella, is also part of the show. She focuses her work on mosaics and related creations. Lily and Carol are here with us today to talk about their work, the art gala, and the exciting world of art they are pleased to bring to us all. Lily and Carol, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jean. Thank you very much for having us.
Hi, Jean. Thanks.
Well, thank you both for being on the show. Just tell us a little bit about the history of the Unionville Art Fair. How long, or Art Gala, I should say. How long has it been going on? How did it originate? Tell us a little bit about its background.
It's been going around. This is its 41st year, and it was started as a way to showcase local artists and display student art because we have a rich curriculum at Unionville High School. And we enjoy it tremendously, and it's grown over the years and gotten better and better.
Mm-hmm. And who originally came up with the idea, do you know? I mean, was it a local artist or?
Lilia, I don't know. Do you know?
Gosh, no. I'm not old enough to do the 42 years. But I honestly, this is one of the PTO fundraisers. In fact, the second biggest one of the year. Mm-hmm. And so probably just because, as you know, the rich art the art and cultural history of the Brandywine region, it's kind of a natural thing to have a show that shows the talents not only of the local artists but also of the students. I think it's is a very unusual show in that they showcase both next to each other.
Mm-hmm. Are there any major sponsors for the event?
We do have some sponsors, yes. Then they are listed on our website, which is unionvilleartgala.com. Mm-hmm. And they are very generous in helping us support the show, because mm-hmm. obviously every dollar they give us, we can funnel back into the school and also use to promote the show.
Just curious, a lot of people have complained in recent years about cutbacks in school budgets and cutting back certain courses and things like that. Does art still get taught in
local schools? Oh, yes. We have an extremely strong program. My son actually is an artist, and he discovered when he went away to a camp a couple summers ago that our program has taught him so much more than it teaches other kids who consider themselves artists. Mm. And he was it's an impressive program. If you come to the show, you'll see the student art, which is outstanding.
Mm. Now, will visitors to the gala be able to actually talk with and meet the artists?
Yes, we encourage the artists to be present as much as possible. Friday night generally tends to be a little busier, with the student artists, featured artists being present as well, and the artists are there to talk to, and you can ask them questions, find out about their inspirations.
Mm-hmm. Now, the art will be displayed at the Unionville High School, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. Now, Leela and Carol, you're both you live in this area, but I know that there's going to be artists from all around the region. Can you tell us where some of them are coming from?
Yeah, we have artists. Generally, they're within 1 or 2 hours. We have artists from Maryland and Upper Pennsylvania and Western Pennsylvania. The person who gets the prize for traveling the furthest is Gregory Tome, and he is a blown glass artist, and he is coming to us from California.
Oh, long way.
He has gorgeous work, but his roots are in Chads Ford, so mm-hmm. he's coming back to show with our show, which is great.
I remember you mentioned glass work. I remember years ago I saw a display by a famous glass artist, Dale Chihuly.
Chihuly. He's wonderful. Yeah, he has some wonderful pieces of the Delaware Art Museum right now.
Yeah, he's got some great stuff.
He's phenomenal.
I guess he's very well known, is that
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I used to live in Seattle, and that's where he's based out of, and a lot of artists are famous and being mentored by him. Mm-hmm. And he has beautiful work.
Leela, did you ever meet him?
No, I wish I had. He's supposed to be quite a character, I have to say.
Yeah.
I know I've met a bunch of his students,
you know,
and they have stories.
Is that right? You know, along those lines, this is open to both of you. Have either one of you met, like, nationally renowned artists? Have you ever become friends with them or make their acquaintance?
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
I mean, I don't know. How well known is Mr. Jackson over there?
Jackson?
Bob Jackson.
Bob Jackson. Is he pretty well known?
Yes, he is, actually. And he's you know, responsible for the current show right now, the Delaware Art Museum and the Summermall Manning Show. His mm-hmm. book, Behind the Easel, inspired that great show. And all of those artists were all around, and I actually just befriended most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So great, wonderful, humble. You wouldn't know that they were world famous.
Yes.
They're just really nice people.
He's
that
phenomenal.
Are extremely talented. And I think that, you know, artists in our area, Jane, mm-hmm. this is true. There's something about this place that we live in that's very, very beautiful. It's very inspiring. And once you get the mix of it, it's a great place. And people are very, I think, sharing of their talents and easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the artists are very generous.
Mm-hmm. I love art. I've been a collector for many, many years.
Good, come to the show.
Yeah, well, you know, I might just try to do that.
Keep going, Carol.
I would love to. We have all kinds of art in our house, sculptures, a lot of paintings, watercolors, oils. We just love art. But I was going to ask, in terms of the variety of art styles, just tell us a little bit about the variety that you expect to showcase there.
Well, we showcase all different kinds of art. We consider it a fine art show, but we have oil painters, watercolor artists, pastels, photography, there's glass, woodworking, jewelry, mosaics, mm-hmm. sculpture.
Definitely something for everyone and also
yep.
every budget.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes some of these shows are very, very high priced or very, very low priced, but this is a big mix of medium and also different prices.
It's a very approachable show, price point wise.
That is great. I'm going to go to each one of you about your own particular work. Leela first. Tell us a little bit about your art.
Okay, well, let me see. When I was first here at the area in Unionville Chads Ford about 16 years ago, most of my artwork was public art, working with kids and people from different areas in Chester County to do public artwork. Mm-hmm. And then it just sort of graduated into paintings, which was my forte back when I was a kid in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And so just the painting style developed. I'm pretty known for very large paintings that have forest scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And
which are wonderful, by the way. I've seen several of them.
Thank you, Gene. And thanks to a class with Stan Smokler about 3 years ago, I grew completely in love with the metal medium. So I'm a steel welder as well as a painter.
Yep.
And I guess a lot of people have been to Kennett outside of Mala for a long time, and now at the Creamery is about a 6-foot heart that I made.
Mm. Now you do sculpture.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. And I enjoy it very much. It's really, really fun. But I find that as I get larger and larger with the sculpture, I cannot move the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to work on that a little bit.
Now, I'm not as experienced as you, both of you are in art, but is there such a thing as a sculptured painting? In other words, a painting that has incorporated hard, metal or pieces in the painting.
Sure, itself. Sure. Mm-hmm. That would be more on the line of a collage art where you're bringing in different mediums. And you know, to be honest, these days, anything goes. As long as it's working, it lasts, things mm-hmm. aren't falling off or whatever. If you're trying something new and it looks good, there's aesthetically pleasing, I mean, why not? I mean, mosaic is a form, which is something that Carol does.
Mm-hmm.
That's a form of sculpture and art. Also, encaustic painting, which is something I do, which is heavy wax.
Yeah.
It really looks like sculpture, but mm-hmm. of course you're painting with hot wax.
Mm-hmm. Now, Carol, you focus a lot on mosaics. Tell us a little bit about your work.
Well, actually, Lily and I used to work on those some of the public art projects back in Pocopson Elementary School days when our kids were in school together, mm-hmm. and Lily started a great program there called Art in Action, and I kind of learned about mosaicing with Lily because that was one of her early passions,
mm-hmm.
and then just took it from there. And mm-hmm. I just love to incorporate stuff that most people would throw away
now,
into mosaics.
I think you mentioned when we were talking personally that you have pieces of glass and things like that.
Oh yeah, glass, broken dishes, pottery, plates I find at different places, a piece of metal I found on a walk,
mm-hmm.
doorknobs, buttons.
A wide variety.
Beads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
bullet casings. That's another one.
Yeah. Do you infuse any color or painting or anything like that, or is it purely pieces of?
Yeah, it's purely pieces of mosaic
mm-hmm.
tiles.
Uh huh. So a lot of tiles. Okay. Well, I think we're just about to take a break for a commercial, but please stay with us. We'll be back with Lily Gaylor and Carol Epicella of the Unionville Art Gala.
Do you have a wedding, graduation, baptism, confirmation, milestone, or birthday to plan? You need John Surratt Catering, one of the most highly rated and preferred caterers throughout the Philadelphia area. They will be there to create and cater your event while assisting as much or as little as you desire. Planning a decadent, over-the-top company gala? Need help transforming your backyard into the party of the year? Want to wow your clients with a delicious luncheon? Then you need John Surratt Catering. All you have to do is call, and they'll handle the rest. Located at 835 Lincoln Avenue in Westchester, visit them at SurrockCatering.com or call 610-640-2836. That's 610-640-2836.
If you had to choose a roofer, would you choose one with limited experience and knowledge, or would you choose a roofer certified as a master elite contractor by the largest manufacturer in the nation, GAF, a distinction shared by only 3% of the nation's roofers? I'm talking about GP Martini Roofing, who also does siding, windows, doors, and offers an ironclad guarantee that he'll repair or replace any roof for defects within its normal life. GP Martini Services, Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery counties, with free estimates and consultation, and does both commercial and residential. Go to their website at martiniroofing.com for special savings, or call 610-873-1696. And also, financing is available with no payments for a full year. Now, what roofer would you call? GP Martini is the answer, 610-873-1696.
If it's happening in Chester County, you'll hear about it here. WCAG 1520 AM, the talk of Chester County.
I I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. Today we're speaking with Lili Gaylor and Carol Apicella, two local artists here in Chester County outside of Philadelphia, and the Unionville Art Gala. Lili, I know I asked you first a little bit about your art. Tell us a little bit about the artists and styles that have influenced you and maybe who your or what your favorite art period was.
Oh, my gosh, that's a toughie. Goodness sake, I think that just because my work tends to go more abstract, I would say I'm really interested in the work of Gerhard Richter. He's a German expressionist who is alive now and working. Goodness, I really wouldn't say. I love all art forms, honestly, as long as there's something compelling about them. I go to museums. I'm a crazy museum person. I have probably 3,000 art books. I teach and write art history, so I'm constantly drawn into things. And the more my style changes, the more I'm obsessed with continuing to paint and do steel. And, in fact, I have to say, the last time when you were referring to meeting nice artists and being influenced them and so on, when I was at the Delaware Art Museum and talking to many of the artists who were doing contemporary realism, my style changed after that. That was just 2 weeks ago. I think the more you open your eyes and look and see and are fascinated with what people are doing and doing so well, you can't help but change your style a little bit.
Sure. Now, Carol, you focus more on mosaics and related works. Tell us a little bit about the people or styles that have influenced you.
Well, the mosaics, again, stem from Lili because we started doing them with kids back in elementary school, trying to find inexpensive ways to make class projects that could raise money for the school. And then that evolved into, I don't know, I just like the undulating waves. I like the impressionistic brushstroke, and I kind of look at it as painting with tiles and other elements. And generally my pieces have undulating waves going from left to right up into the stratosphere there. And then I like repurposed art, and a friend of mine once said, Carol, you're the only person I know who can make something out of nothing. And I like to kind of, I think it's fun to take things that people would be throwing away, like beer cans and soda cans, and I also do things with them to make mirrors and wall pieces that
now,
incorporate
those. When you incorporate, let's say, tiles and things like that, do you ever have anything that's like an antique or historic or anything like that?
Yeah. Like a friend of mine gave me a pin that she wanted. It was a grandmother's pin she wanted incorporated into a mosaic. And sometimes I go to, you know, thrift shops and antique stores and buy old dishes because the rims are beautiful and the colors in them are beautiful and there's a delicacy there that you don't see in modern pottery, and then I break them.
then you break them, put them in your mosaic.
Yeah, I break them, I put them in the mosaic.
That's a good way to get it. I mean, relatively inexpensive, and you don't have to travel around the world. You know, this region, of course, very rich in the history of art. Tell us, first, Lili, tell us your ideas about how artists interact with the public to generate interest for their own work. I mean, I'm sure it's a lot of interaction and kind of trying to encourage people to take a look at your work, since there's so many things out there for people to pay attention to, especially electronic media and things like that. How do you interact with the public?
Well, I personally also write a thing called Art Watch, which is a column that's weekly and monthly that goes to about 15 papers. And so that's one way to stir up business and to get us all talking to one another. That's important. There are also some really terrific art organizations, art associations, small groups of people all over Chester County in the mainline area. So that's a good thing, too. It's really great to not just be a solitary artist and not really communicate with everybody else, because it really just gets you fired up talking to other people, and then you get to get together and have shows. Plus, we have really nice small galleries. And they're popping up all over the place. Honestly, in the past 2 months, we've had two or three new galleries come up in our area, which is really, really wonderful news, and that's a nice sign of a stronger economy. But currently, we have Mallet Gallery in Kennett Square. There's the Longwood Art Gallery, Chatsworth Art Gallery, Church Street Art Gallery, and quite a few other ones, and then also into Wilmington. It's very interesting, and it isn't just one style of art. It's a lot of different voices in this, and that's mm-hmm. really, really fun. And plus, of course, we're so lucky with the Brandywine River Museum of Art. I mean, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's right in our doorstep, and that's our cultural heritage right there. Mm-hmm. And they're showing the Wyeths from the very start, but also a lot of contemporary work as well. It's really, mm-hmm. it's a really vital artistic place that we live in, and we're really lucky to be a part of it.
Yeah. Now, Lily, mm-hmm. you do the studio tours, too.
Yeah, there's the Chester County Studio Tour that started by Jeff Schaller, who's an artist in Downingtown, and that has grown to, I was in the second tour. There were only two studios then, and now there are, 100 artists, 48 studios, and that happens every May, and it brings in tens of thousands of people just looking to buy art in Chester County. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then for the first time ever, it was just started in Delaware County this past fall, and again, you know, it was just the first start, so they were just like 15 studios, 40 artists. But it's just something that'll build on, and it's really, really great for artists to sell their work, for the camaraderie and so on, and just building up that whole idea that we live in this very rich artistic place.
Yeah, now a lot of people may not know that when they go to the Gaylor Estate Winery, some of your works are there on the wall. Tell us a little bit about that.
Thanks. Yes. Well, that's a lucky side thing. So part of the whole winery idea was to also put in as much art as possible. My own art, that's fun to do, put on the walls. But every Sunday, too, we have writer's talk, we have artist talk, we have pop-up art shows, we have sip and shops where we have, artisan events and so on. And we really like that whole tie-in with the arts, the wine, and of course the natural beauty of the vineyard and so on. So that's something that we try to keep going as much as possible. And actually, my first show I've ever just done my own show, I've never done that, is this weekend. That's for the 5th anniversary at Gaylor Estate. It's this weekend coming up. And also, there's a cool steel show at Rob Sukovitz's studio of 7 steel artists. So that's a neat thing, too. There are all these like really interesting art things happening, and you just kind of pick up check out Art Watch or check out, whatever your local news source, and you might be able to tap into some stuff that's going on here.
Mm-hmm. You better not sell everything at those shows, Lily.
No, I promise I won't. I know. I promise, Carol.
Now, Carol, for your work, I am mosaics and related projects. How do you interact with the public? Do you try to have...
I am so small scale, it's not funny.
Yeah.
But The Merchant of Menace does have some of my pieces. And
Marshalltown.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And he has the beer can. He likes the beer can ones because it's recycled stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I may be in Mala Galleria, but I haven't pursued that much.
Mm-hmm. Now, did both of you teach art at one time?
Just to the students.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also the art history component. I teach the art history for the Art in Action program for the past 16 years to the adults, and then they teach the students.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taught at various other little places, too, but not as a paid teacher.
Right. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the adult teaching the students after I was taught by Lily.
Oh, I see. You have in-person training here.
Yes.
I can say from my personal experience, first of all, I absolutely love art, painting, sculpture, mosaics even, and... over the years, I've gravitated towards a few different styles, and I know you hear this all the time. Mm-hmm. I really do love the Impressionists, I find it a challenge from time to time when I go into a major art museum like the Philadelphia Art Museum, and you go into their modern wing or their contemporary wing, and you'll see, let's say, like a de Kooning, and you'll look at it and say, am I looking at this upside down, Kandinsky. Who was the other guy who used to literally throw the paint across the
Jackson Pollock?
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh yeah.
I mean, some of his are considered masterpieces, but I think maybe the average person would have to say, okay, how do I interpret this?
Well, he used house paint, too. I mean, it wasn't even, fine paint.
But, that's right.
But that's part of the more you know. Just like with history, Gene, that you know so well, some other people will look at a field and not get that sense that's so much deeper than just looking out at a field, but you sense the depth of it. And for me, I mean, I read books about all those people that you just talked about, and there's a lot more going on than that. And if you don't want to see that, that's fine, too. Just enjoy something else.
Mm-hmm.
But there are different levels of looking at it, and what they did was... interesting. But it's your own aesthetic, whether or not you think it's beautiful and it moves you. I mean, that's really the baseline for anybody.
Right.
Does it move you? And if you want to explore more, honestly, the more you learn about any type of an art form, the more you're going to enjoy it, just like anything else.
Right. That's when absolutely. I lived up in, my husband and I used to live up in New York, and we would go, we had this thing called Art Views, and a woman would take us to very small galleries throughout New York City, and she would explain why Dan Flavin's light bulbs, fluorescent light bulbs, are art. Because sometimes you look at them going, they are fluorescent light bulbs on a wall. Okay, this does not look like art. But she explained behind, you know, the thought behind it and the reasoning and the time period in which the art was created sometimes has something very much to do with why it is the way it is.
I have been to New York many times. In fact, next week I'm going to see the play Hamilton.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
And which should be great on Broadway. But I'll also plan a visit to the Met, which is one of the greatest art museums, I think, in the world.
I used to work there.
What's that?
I used to work there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
A couple years.
But I've always been fascinated with the place called the Guggenheim.
Yep.
Have you ever been in the Guggenheim?
Yep.
I mean, the building itself is a work of art.
It is.
I think it's actually more of a work of art than some of the stuff in it sometimes, because when the way it's, well, I mean, but the way that you have to go up.
It's a spiral.
It's not actually that conducive to you staring at a painting. It wants you to move.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas, I mean, the exterior of the building is insanely gorgeous. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. And also MoMA, Museum of Modern Art, has a lot of contemporary, by definition, contemporary art. I assume they have a lot of kind of abstracts and
everything.
I don't know, do they do anything like performance art, anything like that?
No, not so much, but you know that they have Christina's World at the MoMA.
Is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
You know where they put it? They put it next to the bathroom.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Now, that used to be in the Smithsonian, I think, years ago.
No, I didn't know that.
I believe years ago it was in the Smithsonian down in D.C. Tell us a little bit about the Unionville Art Gala website. What can people expect to find there?
We have a list of the artists. We have samples of their work. We have ways to connect with them and directions to the event. It's free admission, and we have the hours, of course, and all that. So it's got everything you need to know about the show. Our sponsors as well.
Okay. Tell us, since our listeners will probably have to go there for the first time, can you mention a few of the artists that maybe locally or regionally that you know who will be there? Do you know any names that will
be participating? Okay. There's Lily. There's Diane Micklin. See, now I can't remember them. Gregory is coming, and Paul Koch does woodworking, and Rob Sigafos is going to be there with sculpture. David Bell will be there. I have a whole list. We have all the artists.
Well, that's quite a few. 70 is quite a number of
plus
artists.
Plus the student artists, which are, people are shocked and often want to buy.
Okay.
All of them want to buy the student art, which is kind of funny.
Very good, very good. Well, it's going to be a wide variety of artwork there. Again, paintings, sculptures, mosaics, different styles. And Lily, are you with us again?
Yeah, sorry about that. I got disconnected.
Oh, no problem.
New York.
Now, we're just talking
about... Steve Miller's going to be there. He's a black and white photographer.
Okay.
And he has nine black and white photographs that are in the permanent collection of the Smithsonian.
Oh, excellent.
Part of their permanent collection.
Excellent.
So he's going to be there, which is kind of cool.
I remember years ago I took an aesthetics course in college, and one of the questions which came up in the course was, can photography be art?
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, that's one of those questions.
Now and I think the answer is yes. Ansel Adams, you probably know Ansel Adams.
Oh, yeah.
Many famous photographers have proven that it can be truly majestic and really fine art. Lily, you're the featured artist. We're excited to hear about that. And, again, the Unionville Art Gala is the Friday the 18th.
18th, 6 to 9.
And Saturday the 19th, 11 to 4 at the Unionville High School. Lily and Carol, thank you so much for being on the show today. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday, November 16th at 1 p.m. Eastern, when guest host Bruce Maldi will speak with author Ray Doyle. Thank you all for tuning in today to Living History.